The William Hill Sports Show is owned and produced by William Hill. All opinions expressed by the host or guests are their own and are not endorsed by either radio station KUUB management or any of its advertisers. This is KUUB-FM Sun Valley, Reno.
It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome to the Week 1 March Madness William Hill Sports Handicapping Show. I'm kind of a little choked up after, watching the Nevada Wolfpack game, so I'm sure everybody knows by now, but Wolfpack ended up figuring out a way to win in overtime, Josh. You know, went into halftime. I think they were down by, down 9 at halftime?
Right, and immediately 5-0 run for Texas, start the second half. So it wasn't looking good. 3 minutes into the second half, you're down 14. You know, Texas got the their crowd on their side. It's just looking like it might not be Nevada's day. You know, Texas' size and strength seemed to be a factor, and then suddenly, they didn't give up, and there we are. Overtime, an 87-83 pack.
Man, what a gut check. What a heart. You know, the Wolfpack showing heart. I mean, absolutely amazing. Like you said, Josh, and even in overtime, they came out and, it was the pack tied it up. And then the little guard from Texas, goes to the baseline and puts up a three, makes it, gets fouled, and a four-point play. So, we go from tied to down four in one possession. And it looks like, here we go again, had a great run. But, man, the heart of this Wolfpack team and just to keep grinding and keep coming back. And, and the heart of Jordan Caroline. I mean, he had no points. He had 2 points and one rebound, I think, way into the second quarter, and Caroline ends up with 14, 14-8-5, and probably one of the biggest plays of the whole game was when the center for Texas, Mo Bamba got, had four fouls. He took it right to his chest, fouled him with 3 seconds left in regulation, and fouled him out of the game, fouled him out of the game, and.
Yeah, that was huge, Ken, and it's kind of funny because I didn't know, obviously, at the time how the game was going to turn out either way. It's still worth noting that Jordan Caroline, by his own standards and by what he means to the Wolfpack, played a poor game. He really did. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, 3 of 8 from the foul line. It just thankfully he got one to get us to overtime because he clunked the first one. And there was a lot of head scratcher. Ken, he goaltended Caleb Martin's dunk goaltended with a dunk that negated what would have been a 3-point play. He made some. I was sitting there scratching my head half the game saying, man, you picked a bad time to have your worst game of the year. But he came in there, and you're right, Ken. It takes a lot of nerve to drive it right at the 7-footer with the game on the line. By the way, you're down and you got to make a play. Get the first one to block. A lot of people would be tentative. Kick it back out. He just got a little pump fake, got it to where he got in his chest, and he, like I said, got a play that fouled out a guy who's a huge factor for Texas and gave him a chance. Now, granted, it's all, every outcome being equal, you'd rather make two and win the game there, but at least he didn't miss them both. And then he comes back in overtime, and he ultimately got the clinching rebound too. So, yeah, like I said, 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 8 from the foul line since when? Is he not, pretty reliable at the free throw? Yeah, he's hit game-winning free throws many times this year. He stepped up and hit them to steal the game at Boise State. He's had a lot of clutch free throws. Like I said, poor by his normal standards, not a good game for him at all, and yet they found a way to rally around him. And you're right, and it's worth noting, not that I don't pay attention to only one end, he did. I think part of that was you're a 6'7" bulky guy, but you're trying to guard a 7-1 guy who's going to be a top 5 pick in the 2 months from now. That's not easy. Even the commentators gave him half a man in front type of thing. I mean, he got a lot of putbacks and he did okay, but what he didn't do was 30 points and 15 rebounds. I mean, Caroline stayed in front of him to where they weren't just lobbing it to him for dunks all game. So he did a solid job on the defensive end. But, yeah, overall, I thought they sort of overcame what was a really poor, game on his part. And then some of the other guys, how about Josh Hall? I mean, talk about – there's a fearless guy. What about his putback with about a minute left? He didn't care. Mamba was looming over him right there. He goes, I don't care. I'm just going to scoop it in. If you come over me, you're getting fouled out. I mean, a little, guard – he was 15 points, 6 rebounds for him. Of course, we know everyone else. Stevens, 22 points. He was clutch. We needed guys to make a free throws. He sealed the game at the end with a pair, that made it a two-possession game.
Two cold-blooded free throws. Yep. What about the cold-blooded three from the baseline?
Yeah.
Oh, Kendall.
Yeah.
So. Lighting it up. My buddy Scott, we were talking about it. He goes, I didn't think Kendall had as good a game as I thought. And I go, how many think he had? He goes, I don't know, 12. I go, he had 20.
Yeah.
he's like, what?
22. That was, and you're right. But the key thing is, Ken, not only did he do that, he was a guy who was reliable when nothing was going well. When nothing was going well for Nevada, he was the one guy who had a few shots that just really prevented Nevada from getting blown straight out. There are times where you had a double-figure deficit much of the first half, like you mentioned. Stevens was a guy who was like somewhat, you know, of a, you know, calming force, where that he was able to just, you know, break them out of some pretty prolonged funks on the offensive end. And Ken, like you just mentioned, it's huge. It's big for all of us who have followed it. You haven't won a game in this tournament in over a decade, and it's just a milestone victory on top of everything else. And last week, how disappointing was it when you go down, you get blown out by San Diego State in a game that, let's face it, on that night, Nevada didn't play particularly well, but San Diego State at that point in time played like, you know, the best team in the country. That given night, they would have beaten anybody. I thought it was kind of funny because at the same time, Duke was playing North Carolina in the ACC semifinals. I thought, you know, San Diego State beats either one of them that night, the way they were going. And you just wonder, you know, with a team that only goes six or seven deep and you got three guys banged up, is it just, you know, it is what it is in sports, Ken, right? You just hit the wall. They could only carry on for so long, and maybe, you know, it's great to make the NCAA tournament. Musselman even, acknowledged that a seven seed seemed like a real nice sign of respect for the committee, and it was. You don't see a mid-major lose their conference tournament and they end up with the playing game or an 11 or something, but there they were still, so they got their national respect, and you just wonder if, you know, it's going to be all they could do to move on to the next round. Let's face it, it is huge. It also means, you know, when the coaching carousel comes around,
absolutely,
you know, whose name's going to pop up. Not that it wouldn't anyway, but now
you know, everybody, huge. Mark, I'll lob this question up to you. Everybody talks about, you know, Nevada not being big, you know, and having trouble. You know, as soon as we run into a big guy, they're going to be in trouble. As soon as they run into a big guy, we're going to, you know, we defended McCoy three games for Vegas, and now we face Bamba, and he only ended up with 13 points. Mark, he got his boards. He had a big day on the glass, but the Wolfpack did a fantastic job of denying him the ball. And when it was all said and done, Jordan Caroline actually ended up outscoring Bamba.
And Caroline's underrated defensively. Like, he really positions himself well on the defensive side. Plus, the Pack, they got a lot of length. You know, the Martins, you know, and Stevens and even Hall, like, they just have a lot of length, so they cut down the passing lanes a lot. I mean, they're better defensively than they get credit for. And they've shut down, like, the big guys. I know people say if we play a big physical team down low, you know, we're going to be in trouble, but I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Well, I like what Musselman's quote on that was. He goes, you know, everybody wants to say that we're going to be in trouble, but you have to understand, if the team that's big down low, they have to contend with our five guards. So our game plan is just, we'll neutralize them, we'll run. I mean, and they won't even be involved in plays. You'll get four, you know, three on, or four on threes and five on fours and three on twos and stuff like that, Josh. I mean, yeah. And that was a great comment by Coach Musk.
I agree. Again, and it's funny, you saw the game, the tie turn in the second half based on that specific principle where, let's face it, Texas is a grinded out team. I think they're great too. It's kind of funny that I say the irony of, or you should say the similarities of the two teams coming into this and that. You know, Nevada just learned what's like with everyone banged up, point guard out for the season, everybody else with a broken finger, something's wrong, and finding a way to get by. Texas has been doing it all year, you know, right? They lost one guy tragically. One guy got cancer, another guy got kicked off. I mean, these are star players that they went out without the whole year. Mamba was just out for like six games in a row. And somehow for that team to get in there and win 20 games, I mean, Texas, Shaka Smart's an impressive guy. I mean, a completely depleted roster, and they were NCAA tournament quality, proved that they belong today. To me, they're no joke. They're one of the at-largers that completely belong. But Nevada, you know, doing the best they can to – you know, work with what they have. And you're right, Ken, the pace completely changed. There are times where they started to come back. Texas is in the half court. That's what worked for them. You know, more or less pretty deliberate offense, get deep in the shot clock, and that's where they hurt us. When Nevada got out, and even not fast break, although that happened a few times, but the secondary break, you know, where they like to, you know, zip the ball around and get the quickest available shot. And you could tell when they started trading, you know, going up and down real fast, started trading. That worked in Nevada's favor, and suddenly that deficit dwindled right away.
Absolutely.
And they survived a tough game where, you know, the Roach and Coleman with Texas, they were pretty hot shooting the ball, and, like, they still found a way to win. When Caroline hit that three in the overtime, I knew they were going to win.
It's the proverbial.
Put them up four.
No, great shot.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Roach and Coleman, Mark, I mean, and that's been the Achilles heel for Nevada all year is guard play. Guards, you know, they usually go off against us. Roach ends up with 26 and 5, and Coleman ends up with 25 and 2. So, you know, they were pretty much getting to the rim, you know, at will.
Yeah, and I mean, we have struggled with the guards, you know what I mean? And there's some good guards coming up. Cincinnati's got a couple great guards, and so hopefully we can improve on that. And Cincinnati's a lot like Texas. the style of play in the last few years. It's a little different now since he plays a little more. They have a little more offense than they normally have.
Yeah, for the most part.
So, but well, they lately, play a lot.
Lately,
like
they've reverted to 55 yeah, for 49 well, games.
I mean, they D up and then they get in these games, these one possession games. You know, like yeah. with Houston and.
It makes
and
you wonder,
Wichita
Mark.
State.
Early in the year, though, you're right. You're not normally seeing that at Cincinnati. Like, wait, what's this? 92, 87 yeah. points. And they were boat racing for a long time. They were one of the best covering teams in the country. Like, even with big spreads, no one in the AAC could even get near them. I wonder if they peaked too soon, though, because they didn't look – I mean, they did win the conference tournament, but they didn't look like the same team at all. I mean, they're barely getting by the likes of, you know, Memphis and whoever else. And then, yeah, one-point game against Houston that they probably deserve to lose in the championship. I just wonder, you know, I don't know, if teams caught up to them, or is it the similar thing where, like, a team like Virginia eventually, you know, you press that much. I mean, you wear down a little bit, but Cincinnati just hasn't been – you know, looked like they were at their best the first half of the season.
I agree with that. You know, some of these teams are struggling down the stretch a little bit, like Texas Tech, Cincinnati, you know, just barely getting by some of these games. You know, it's just that time of year you want to be peaking, and I think you might be right. Cincinnati might have peaked a little early, and I hope that works out well for the Pack, you know, because the Pack is – they got to be riding a little wave after today's game.
Right.
I mean, they're –
As you know, the main issue, though, with the Bearcats will be that they have the depth that Nevada doesn't. They do come at you in waves. They press nonstop, and you wonder if, you know, if fatigue's going to be a factor, and especially come a short turnaround from a taxing overtime game that has some, you know, validity to
it. Well, I'd say one good thing for the Pack in that regard, Josh, is that, you know, they've played a lot of these up-tempo games all year. You know, teams have tried to, you know, wear them out, and they've answered every bell. Like, they – You know, they usually end up – you really don't want to run with Nevada because, you know, they can put
no,
up
no,
a
– that's true.
They can fill it up.
But, Mark, but and I say this wondering, well, so TCU kind of plays that way. I was trying to think back. On Nevada's schedule, we've all seen just about every game one way or another. Is there a team – what team can we think of not only similar, you know, quality athletes to Cincinnati, but that plays a pressing style? We'll see. TCU kind of does that. That game was in the 90s, and, you know, they just held
on. Killed their own.
It was one of those things. Yeah,
Pack killed
exactly.
Their own.
They got back into it in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a team like the kind of mirrors that, you know, that they've played. I'd say maybe Texas Tech is a lot like that, you know, a defensive oriented.
Yeah, but
team.
They don't press you.
They don't.
The thing
don't.
Is, Mark, Texas Tech struggles with that. You see, they really yeah. struggle with West Virginia and Stephen F. Austin. They're not good against the press, but they play solid half court.
They
defense.
Struggled against the other last night for a while with yeah. Stephen F. Austin. But yeah, in any case, I mean, hopefully, you know, the Pack can dictate more of the tempo than Cincinnati because I don't think the Pack wants to be one of these 55-54 grinder games.
Oh, no. And I think Coach Muss is going to – he's such a great coach. He's going to find a way to get a game plan and play to his game plan. I mean, he's as good a coach, in my opinion, guys, as anybody in the country.
I mean, agree.
On making – and he's going to force teams to play the way he wants to play.
Especially, you know, we see how the Pack responds at halftimes.
He's going to make
games.
Cincinnati uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Pack it over again. I mean, we're talking about betting, you know, sports handicap. So obviously, you know, the Pack's, you know, number, it opened up, you know, at Texas -1, went to Pack -1, went back to Texas -1.5, 2, and then back down to, and I think it actually ended up closing, you know, it opened up today. Late money came in on Texas and went back to 2. Then I think it actually closed at Texas -1. So I think it was a fair line, you know, but the one consistency all year, and Mark, we made, Josh, a lot of money on this, is packing over in the second half. It's almost, you know, you make two bets and, you know, they packing over itself has came in so many times, but very seldom is it been you went 0 for 2.
You lose both
spot.
Of them.
Right.
Exactly.
Again, they bailed us out last week. I got to say, San Diego State, for the one no-show game, like I was kind of horrified. I put a sizable bet. I really thought, oh, this is cool. They're getting down on Nevada. There's, you know, I feel like we'll all probably have them pegged pretty accurately. But I thought, you know, based on the end of the season, they looked down a little bit, and I just thought they were discounting Nevada in that game. So I put a nice size bet. I'm like, yeah, we'll take care of San Diego State. Wasn't prepared for what came next. But I will say they bailed us out at the half. So you're already giving up, right? You're laying 3 points, you're down 30. I mean, that's done. I was like, how do we get back in this? I was like, yeah, the end game line was looking pretty sweet. They offered Nevada +24.5 for the game the rest of the way. I'm like, this is how I get even, because you know they're going to cover that in the second
I'll tell
half
you what.
At a minimum. And they did. So I was like, all right, at least I broke even.
I'll tell you one thing we learned about that game, sports handicappers, is that no matter what the situation is, Musselman's teams are going to play to the bitter end. No doubt about it. I mean, they're down 30 points with 8-9 minutes left, you know, 28. And they're still pressing, playing right. hard. And he did not pull the starters. And we're talking about a Nevada team where we've got Kendall Stevens has got a bad ankle and a broken finger. Jordan Caroline's got a broken finger. Right. Caleb Martin's got an Achilles. I mean, we have a lot of injuries. And he didn't back off. He very easily could have said, you know what?
And he was sick.
And he was sick. Cody was sick.
Yeah, Cody was sick.
Yeah, so he very easily could have said, you know what? Ran into a buzzsaw. Let's try and get healthy for the next game. But he played till the bitter end. So if you're looking for – you get in these situations where you kind of go, is the Pack going to play to the final buzzer? Yes, they will always play to the final buzzer. And as hard as they can play.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. That's why I was confident, like, not only taking them in the second half of that game, but you might remember some of the crowd, the San Diego State, whatever, had a good following there. Like, some people were booing, right? Where, like, Nevada's still fouling. The last 2 minutes, they're still down, you know, the 13-15 range. They're still fouling, making them earn it, calling timeouts. And some of the crowd's booing, like, yeah, could you just let this end? They're like, no, they just keep it. And look what happened against New Mexico. I mean, if these things can happen. Nevada has already, you know, proved it with the biggest comeback, you know, in college basketball.
And we're deadly history. And we're deadly from the 3-point land. So if you missed a few shots, nine. We hit a three, and we get two stops and hit two more threes. That's a 9-0 run in 40 seconds.
What if a three and steal the inbounds in another? I mean, it can happen.
No, absolutely.
But nonetheless, Ken, you know what I like about Eric Musselman a lot, too, because every time I hear him do these interviews, which, by the way, one thing is cool. You notice all the local media, they gather around him on the practice court in the middle of the week, and he just stands there for 20 minutes. He doesn't have to do that, by the way.
Oh, no.
Most institutions do everything through the sports media office, or you want to talk to – we have scheduled things. You know, twice a week, he'll step up to the mic after practice for 20 minutes, so that's all you get. Musselman doesn't care, and everyone knows it now. So they just go there, they gather. Whenever he's got a break in the action, he comes over and talks for 20 minutes and, you know, makes everyone happy to get their sound bites and everything. But what I like is his honest awareness about the team all the way around, because I've never heard him. You see coaches on both extremes all the time. They're either way too flowery and praise for their team when it's really not merited, or they just say awful things even on the other end when that's not merited. He has the most accurate gauge of the team I've ever seen, and he just tells it, you know, straightforward. What I thought last week was interesting is before they go down there, he's like, yeah, you look at all our losses on the season. He's like, and you can, you know, say what you will. Sometimes we're outplayed or we didn't play as well as we could. But one thing we haven't done, it goes into the thing that I'm proud of, is we haven't had just that standard no-show where we just come in, it's not our night, and we just pack it in. And he even referenced the Wyoming game. He goes, yeah, I remember everyone thought we'd done no-show at Wyoming after, you know, beating Boise State in a tight game. He's like, and hey, we're just a bad call away from winning that way. Yeah, they got beat, but it wasn't because they just didn't show up. He goes, and that shows a lot. He said, every single team, he goes, no matter who you are, he goes, and that no-show thing is real.
Awful call.
He said, every team usually does it once or twice. Years, even referenced last year's teams, like, yeah, you know, last year's team had a couple of those for us. He goes, it happens. He goes, but you see other teams, for instance, like this year, say like Kentucky or Oklahoma, unfortunately, like do it 8 or 9 times. So every other game they showed looked like that. He goes, hey, I'm just proud of, we've never, you know, this whole year we've never no-showed, and then San Diego State happens. You know, that was the closest thing. So don't get me wrong, the Aztecs played great, but that was not Nevada's night. And what I just like about him, like, so you can just tell he really doesn't disguise what's going on. And like you mentioned, Ken, that's just, it's nice to have someone, you know, not only as great an X's and O's coach as that is, but as straightforward about the state of his team as Musselman is.
Right. We have to head off our first commercial break. We still have to talk about the upcoming game. Pack has Cincinnati on Sunday, and we have an opening line on that, so we'll be giving that out after this break on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm Kenny B., your host here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Sorry, I didn't get the introductions in, Josh. I was so fired up about the Wolfpack.
Sorry, we just went straight to it. That's right.
That's right. And Mark the Kid Vespi. John the Hawk Stevens not with us tonight. Mark, what's going on?
Just watching basketball, Ken, at the Cal Neva. We've got great big screens. All the games are on.
Absolutely packed. Lots of games left. Still two to bet. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the outcome of the Nevada-Texas games. Everybody knows Nevada wins in overtime to advance and play Cincinnati. That game is going to be Sunday. I think it's at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure.
That would be awesome if it's
I'm pretty
if
sure
it's
at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And I saw opening line, gentlemen. Josh, have you seen the opening line?
I have not.
So do any of you guys dare to guess what it is?
Cincinnati -6.
Four.
Six and a half. 137 and a half.
Good job, Josh.
No, the Bearcats have been getting respect all year like that.
Well, Cincinnati, you know, let's go talk a little bit about Cincinnati. They come off. They played a little bit earlier today. They played Georgia State. They beat Georgia State 68-53. You know, Cincinnati on the year 31-4.
Cream puff.
They first in the ACC, winners of the ACC regular season, right, Josh?
AAC, but yeah. American Athletic.
AAC.
Yeah, the sort of Big East hybrid leftover conference, but yeah.
So look, that's who Nevada's going to match up in the second round. And, you know, I think Nevada's live in this game, guys. I remember looking at this going, you know what? I'm a lot more comfortable winning the second game than the first game.
And Nevada's live against anybody.
Thing, you know, and then if they win that game, I believe they get the winner. They would get the winner of the Tennessee Loyola Chicago game. So, I mean, you look at this and I'm going, wow, if somehow we can beat Cincinnati, we can beat Tennessee and Loyola Chicago. I mean, that's another great matchup
exactly.
for
so
us.
That's the opponent you'd rather have right now. Like, you're right. I mean, I think they match up pretty well with either of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's got some good athletes. That would be a fun game up and down the court. Loyola showed against Miami. I didn't know. I knew they were good, but that's just another great half-court defensive physical type of team. But the Cincinnati thing, I mean, we were just talking about it last segment. I don't know. You know, which one of them shows up? You know, they struggled today. I think that spread pushed the outcome there. I think it was exactly 15, but they were only up for 5 at halftime, and they struggled to create separation. Georgia State had an early lead, but everyone, you know, fights this time of year. But like we were just talking about, Cincinnati looked like a potential Final Four team early in the year. I thought maybe, God, were they overseeded a little bit with the two? But I guess not, because they were, one of those double champions. I mean, they won the regular season with a win at Wichita State, which was actually a really good effort. And they haven't looked the same since. But they did win both regular and the tournament title. So this is, you know, a pretty solid team. But like I said, they're one of those. They're physical. They're kind of like, you know, sort of a hybrid of, like, you know, a West Virginia and, Texas Tech type of thing. I mean, they like to press, but they're also physical. Nevada just, unlike this game, they could use, I still thought that, you know, today Wolfpack started 1 of 10 from three-point range. You still wondered, again, if there was some NCAA tournament nerves. It'd be nice when those shots started going down in the second half, if you could get past, you know, the jitters early. It'd be nice to see Nevada come out with a hot start, or else they could get a big deficit.
They were up 5-0. Then Texas went on a 10-0 run.
I meant, you know, more along the lines of the first 10 minutes. But
no,
you're right. They were up 5-0, but you're right, not long. They were down 10. So.
Yeah, I mean Cincinnati, you know, they do play physical, and they've got, like I said, they have excellent guards. Like, so Nevada's going to really have to defend the perimeter, you know, a lot better than they did today. And I think it's a great matchup for them, though. I mean, if you look at how everything lines out, I mean, I think they got a really good, decent draw.
They got to make sure Caroline, I mean, that would be a thing where, you know, I mean, you can't really afford anyone to get in foul trouble, but they need him banging in the paint for those rebounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't get like 2 fouls in the first 5 minutes. I mean, they need him every time the ball goes up, because he's basically the only guy with the muscle inside to compete with their guys.
If they do beat Cincinnati and they survive and Tennessee wins their game, you know, at least they won't be in Nashville. You know, they'll be the second weekend. They'll be somewhere else.
Valid.
So that'll be a good situation, you know. But I think the prospects of getting to the Grade 8 and even the Final Four, they have a pretty good lineup of teams that they can beat, you know. And, I mean, the Pack is live against anybody, I really think. You know, I don't think they would be – too many teams would be favored by more than 10 points against them. I don't even think, like
– Pack's talented enough, Mark.
Duke or anybody. I think they'd be maybe 11 or 12.
If they hit shots, if the Pack hits shots, they can play with anybody.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. And I hope they don't wear down, you know. But they haven't seemed to wear down – all year. I mean, like I said, they played a lot of up-tempo games. Now, they haven't played teams that press them a lot, which can tire you out. But so we'll see if they run into a team like that. You know, Cincinnati will press at times. We'll see how that works out. But I don't think you want to press Nevada too much. There, too many guys can handle the ball. Too many guys, too athletic, speed.
Too many mismatches.
And, I mean, and just weird, you know, how tall are the Martins? 6'8"?
6'7",
6'8". 6'8"? Yeah, they're a hard guard, you know what I mean? They really are.
Okay, what did you think? I thought another telling point today, you know, such a milestone game, I thought it was interesting to watch Musselman as the time runs down. Remember, Texas was down 4 with a minute left. They drive baseline, and the foul happens. It fouls Cody Martin out. It's a huge thing because there's going to be a lot of possessions, and Musselman's kind of, you know, upset about the call. But he keeps looking at that scoreboard. I think it was like 53 seconds left when the foul happened. And you can tell he's like calculating his head, the possessions, how many it's going to take to, like, you know, basically milk out the clock. And to me, it was funny, just the expression on his face, because every time the whistle blew, they would show him doing that. Like, and to me, he looks looks like a boxer. Like, you know, in the 12th round, knows he's up and just needs to avoid getting knocked out. And you know what I mean? It looked like he was willing that clock to 0-0-0. You could see it in his face.
17 seconds.
And finally came in.
17 seconds, I think we're at 5, and the Texas guard comes down and buries an NBA 3.
Yeah, and we're not making free throws. And then you know you open the door. If you can't make the free throws, they could tie it on to 3. And then even late in the game, Ken, that same possession, actually, there was a ball. It looked like Nevada was going to get a turnover, a loose ball that eventually went back to Texas. And I got to say, granted, everyone was tired, but I thought Nevada players were slow to, you know, get on the ground and get that loose ball. You get it, the game's over. It goes back to Texas, and you could tell he was a little exasperated by that. But to me, he just had that look on his face, like, just get us to the triple zeros. It finally happened.
And we finally got the ball to Kendall Stevens' hands, where we knew they were going to foul. He walks up. I don't think he touches. I don't think he touched rim on either.
You're right.
He
was ice cold. Nobody on the lane, too. No friends in the area. Nope. Only, you know,
Texas
players.
The lane,
yeah.
He's 91%.
Yeah. Crack. Gone.
You know how many,
but still under pressure.
Right. I was going to say, how often do you see it? These days, it's kind of funny, too, because we talk about all our betting strategies. I say there's a lot of good college basketball players that can't hit free throws in March. It's just the way it is.
Especially
I know,
under
Josh,
pressure.
I bet on almost every
right,
game.
Same here.
And it's my hugest pet peeve.
Me too. But what do you think? But the last couple of days, I'm so used to it now, Mark. I can't get frustrated. Or else you're just going to, you know, slam your head against the wall. And here's what I think. Honestly, the team I bet on, when they go, whatever, drive the lane and get fouled, I consider it a turnover in my mind. Like, nothing good's going to happen. If they make one, I'm happy. If they hit both, I consider it a miracle. But you start counting on them to make it, and you're just a fool because it never happens.
Fool.
So that's
why
I like to look for games to bet over, and it's tough when you miss.
Right, but you said Stevens is 92. You see other guys all the time. They're like, oh, this guy has made 42 in a row, and he just needs these two to seal the game. Clunk, you know, misses them both. It happens nonstop.
And, you know, think about this, guys. Remember, we were down one when they fouled Jordan Caroline. And then he goes to the line, and he misses the first one.
Right.
I mean, what's the pressure on that?
Exactly.
I mean, he'd already missed 3 out of 4 before that.
I thought for sure he was going to make the first and miss the second.
It's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, if you're going to split them, that'd be the divide.
When he missed the first, I was like, oh, man.
Oh, boy, here we go. So, but anyways, congratulations to the Nevada Wolfpack. And let's not forget Lindsey Drew, big part of this. You know, shout out to Lindsey, and, you know, I don't know if he's in town right now, but, you know, if anybody knows Lindsey, tell him that, you know, much love to that guy, because he's just as big a part of this as all these guys.
I think he's got to be there. I'm sure they took him there.
Okay, well, he might be, Mark. You always got to correct me. One-up me, this guy.
Well, I think he might be there.
Well, I would think, being injured doesn't, you know, send you home for the year. I think he's with the team. But.
Well, I think that what I read was that he would have to pay for his own trip. Yeah, because, something like that.
That's messed up.
Yeah, well, he's not on the active roster.
Well, we don't pay these players anymore.
Exactly. So, anyways, with that being said, Nevada moves on, plays Cincinnati. Looks like the number's going to be about 6.5.
That seems like a lot.
Seems like a lot, especially when I think that the Wolfpack can win. Let's recap some of the other games real quick today, guys. And Murray State, West Virginia. West Virginia pulls away late, wins that game 85-68. Big second half for West Virginia. They scored 47 points in the second half. You know, for the game, West Virginia's laying 10. At halftime, they were up 9 and outscored by 12 in the first half. West Virginia beast, just way too much for Murray State. Josh?
Yeah, you know, I didn't bet that way. Ken, it was a bit too much. Murray State had some, a lot of momentum heading into the game. They'd won, like, I think it was 12 games in a row. So I didn't bet it. It was a little steep, but it's not surprising, especially early rounds. West Virginia tends to, you know, teams that aren't used to it, they can out-muscle, you know, the mid-majors. They usually overwhelm their first opponent or two.
And they're just so difficult to play, like, their style of play is. If you don't see that in your conference, or you don't see it, you know, every once in a while, you know, it can be just – it can really wear you down. And,
like you said, even when a rebound handoff is contested, when everything you do is interfered with, it's
constant,
rough.
You know,
pressure.
Harassment from the defense.
Butler beats Arkansas. Butler goes into the game as about a two-point favorite, totals 150. You know, Butler just executed up 5 at halftime, outscored him by 12 in the second half. Butler beats Arkansas 79-62, Josh.
Yeah, I had that one, and the reason why, like, people don't realize Butler's pretty good. If you haven't watched him, I recommend. Their main guy, Keelan Martin, is great. He's probably the best, pure scorer in all of college basketball. I mean,
27-9 today.
Yeah,
27-9.
And the other guard is real good, the lefty. They combined for like 50. The other guard had like 24. I forget his name off the top. But, yeah, they are fantastic. The first couple times I saw Butler, I'm like, who is this guy? He's the type of – even when he goes into the lane and it looks like there's trouble, you off balance, two guys flying at him, it looks like every shot he puts up has a chance. He's never, you know, off balance or rattled. So if you get a chance to – I just thought, too, so the way Butler finishes against Arkansas style, they're helter-skelter. I'm like, watch, it's going to be a day-long, you know, trip worth of layups and open shots, and it was.
it was 21-2 to
yeah,
start.
Yeah, just like, out of the gates.
Like, whoa.
Yes. And they held on.
Hold the lead.
It was a two-point game at one point.
I know, it's crazy, but.
North Carolina, Mark, plays Lipscomb. North Carolina in this game looks like they're, you know, right around 19 and a half, 20. North, did they get the money? Nope, they did not get the money. It came 18. 18. You know, North Carolina just sleepwalking, up by 9 at halftime, outscored them by 9 in the second half for it to come 18. You know, North Carolina, number two seed, moves on, Mark.
Yeah, and I mean, Lips can put up a fight, and they shoot the heck out of the threes. Yeah. And they went a little bit cold, you know, but then so that really allowed North Carolina to extend the lead and get comfortable where they just coasted through it.
One of those games, Josh, where Lipscomb had two scores in double figures. North Carolina had five. So, you know, just too much talent on that side of the basketball.
Yeah, and they got A&M next, right?
We talked a little bit about Cincinnati, Georgia State. Cincinnati prevails 68-53. That's who Cincinnati or the Pack's going to play in the second game. Cincinnati was only up by five at halftime, 35-30. They outscored them by 10 in the second half, 33-23. So, you know, the number one team in the AAC. Josh.
Yep. Like I said, I'm pretty sure that pushed the spread. I'm pretty sure it was 15. I didn't take a piece of it because I can't get on the right side of Cincinnati. And I said, you know, it probably was going to go just like that. They've had a lot of games. In fact, every game in their conference tournament was like that. It was close at halftime. They blitzed them in the second half but came up short of the number.
Wichita State goes down to Marshall. What a crazy game this was. Wichita State favored by 13.5 total, the biggest total on the board, I believe, at 167. You know, Marshall coming in as the 13 seed playing Wichita State. 25-10, fourth in Conference USA. And, you know, Wichita State just went away. Wichita State was up three at halftime, 37-34. They got blitzed in the second half, 47-38. You know, and they, you know, it comes away with a 6-point win for Marshall.
Yeah.
Crazy, Mark. Crazy.
Yeah, well, Marshall's just, they've got some.
They play fast.
And they play hard, and they play aggressive. And, I mean, they can shoot the threes when they're rolling with the threes. You know, they can beat anybody pretty much, I think.
I'm excited.
They're just an underrated team. Nobody knows much about them, you know, but they're a great team.
I'm excited about Marshall's next game where they match up with West Virginia.
That's going to be
a fun game.
And Ken, you know what? It reminded me of Buffalo's upset of Arizona last night. It got deep into the second half, and it was just going to be Marshall's day. Like I said, they made every shot with the shot clock winding down. Wichita State, who I thought was overrated, this was not their best team, right? They, early in the year, I was surprised. They talked about as potential top five team. And I saw them a few times in the early tournaments and things like that. I thought, you know what? They're good but not great. And you know, this just sort of showed it. Wichita State also tailed off toward the end of the year, and I just don't think they were destined for a long run.
The game was crazy. It's just Arizona could never get into the front. You know what I mean? They were just – and I kept thinking they would have a run, and they just kept getting a couple points further behind. It was like, man, it's not going to happen. With 8 minutes left, we were like, it's not happening.
The one thing that I fear the most about that Arizona loss, we've talked about it, is – you know, there's rumor and speculation that, you know, we were talking to some Arizona fans while we were in Vegas last week for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And believe me, even the casual fan is saying, your Coach Muss is coming to Arizona. So even the casual fan knows that, you know, Coach Muss, you know, might be going to Arizona. And, you know, with, you know, Arizona getting bounced the way they did, I mean, I don't know. I just hope Muss stays.
Yeah, you know what, Ken, it's kind of funny because I thought, you know, crossed my mind as well, it'd be a much more high-profile opening, the one he was destined to take last year at Cal that didn't work out. And it's kind of funny with the Sean Miller situation, though, because it makes you wonder, right, this can't help his cause. There's all kinds of scrutiny with the FBI and everything. What did you guys think a couple weeks ago? The reaction, I was talking to a friend of mine about this last night because I thought it was interesting. All that stuff went down, right, where Trier gets suspended for a game. They hold Miller out. And then suddenly he's back, and Miller's adamantly denying it and everything. And my thing is, well, he better be telling the truth, because if they replay, if someone just has that recording and it's obviously him, you know, he's just, you know, cooked. But I was telling my friend the other night, I was like, yeah, but think about the alternative, because, you know, the alternative is he's copied to it, and if he does that, he's gone instantly. So it was either lie or, you know what I mean? So there's only two options there.
I don't know how you can get up in front of a press conference and, like –
I know, but Rafael Palmeiro, you know, Ryan Braun. I mean, just think about those. Well, even an equal comparison here, Mark, Rick Pitino.
Hold on, guys. Okay. Hold the argument. We're getting off. We have to go to commercial break. You guys continue the argument. I'll let you build up your arguments, and we'll continue after this message. We still have one more game to go over, and there's still plenty of games tonight and tomorrow we need to talk about. So this is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from Club Count Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Count Eva.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Mark the Kid Vespi. And you can follow us on Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. You know, we post a lot of information. Very pro Wolfpack website, I might add. But, you know, we put a lot of information up there and a lot of our opinions and, you know, what we wager on. We post tickets and all kinds of things. So Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. If you want to ask a question or whatever, you know, whatever, just like us, join us, read us. And Josh Nagel, you can pick up Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Josh is a writer for Sportsline and has probably a ton of stuff posted right now.
Thanks, Ken. But yeah,
every
single game we do a preview, pick, whatever you name it. I wasn't too great yesterday, but I've actually been pretty good leading up to this. So, you know, heading into 15-5, I think, the week of the conference tournament. So I had a pretty hot streak on my picks for members.
All right. One more game we need. We'll talk about results today. Texas A&M 73, Providence 69. Game was really, really close. Really, really close the whole game. One-point game at halftime, 28-27. Texas A&M was ahead. They closed as a three-point favorite with the total being 138. So it goes over. Or no, it doesn't. Yeah, it goes over. And it looks like Texas A&M outscored him by three in the second half, taking a four-point victory. You know, Providence showed a lot of heart, a lot of guts. You know what you're going to get with Providence. You're going to get, you know, you're talking about every time you touch the ball, somebody's going to be up in your face.
Yeah. I was bummed, Kenny. I had Providence plus 3.5 in that game, which was the opening number. And I just didn't like they kind of fell apart. A&M did well late. But, you know, it's like a five-point game, whatever it was, like a minute 15 left. And they called it an intentional foul on Providence. And that just changed it. You know, it turned into like a five-point possession. And A&M went up 10. Even that, Providence still hustled to close it. But it's pretty rough when you're counting on the dog. And then, you know, that late, the thing to call an intentional foul kind of blew it open late.
Texas A&M's a weird team because they can be super dominant.
They're like half a team.
When their big guys are playing well, I mean, they can.
Top five talent, top 50 results is what I call
Texas
A&M.
And I don't know if it's a coaching thing.
It
or
is. I think
like
Kennedy's terror. I think they need to get rid of him. Mark, you do look at that roster. It's just stacked. They're ranked in the top five in the preseason, started their year off by blowing out West Virginia on a neutral site. Like, that is a good team, and they just fell apart. There's something wrong with them.
Well, they lost Hogue for a while. That didn't help.
They had all kinds of injuries.
But it's other stuff.
Right, exactly. I agree. Because they've been full strength now for, like, the last 10 games, and they still, you know, just like today. I mean, Providence sort of handed it. When they win, it's by, like, one. They're a weird team.
And they got Carolina next, and I think it's, like, a tough matchup for Carolina if A&M plays the way they're capable of, obviously. You know, that's pretty much the same for any team. But, I mean, you know, I think it is – it's going to be an interesting game to watch for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely going to watch that game. Oh, I watch every game. But, anyways, you know, but it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
All right, let's talk about some upcoming games real quick. Virginia, the number one overall seed, plays Baltimore – Maryland, Baltimore. Looks like Virginia's laying about 20.5. You know, obviously one of the lowest of low-scoring teams in all the tournament, Virginia. Probably the lowest total of the tournament so far at 120.5. I know some sharp guys are playing the 20. They're taking the dog here and the plus 20.5. You know, obviously, Josh and Mark, the reason that is because, you know, with such a low total, you know, the 20 value in a total at, if it was like 140, 150, that 20 would be more equivalent to like 26, 27. Yeah. So that's the reason there's a lot more value on the plus 20 because of the low total.
No, I hear what you're saying, Ken. Same thing in college football where, like, you're taking against a really good defensive team. You know, the points are more valuable the lower the total, right? So you say normally, 7.5 is, you know, nice to have. But if you're getting that against, like, you know, whatever, Wisconsin, if it's going to be a grinded out Big Ten, it feels like 14. I know what you're, because that one, again, it opened at like 22, but then they announced that Virginia's sixth man, the guy who's really good, it was at Hall, he's out, injured for the year. And here's another thing to keep in mind. So that probably, I think, influenced the spread a little bit. And you're right, against a team with a slow pace as Virginia, you think, well, those points are even more valuable. But here's the issue with that, is that Virginia can squash terrible teams. They're not bad offensively. They'll hold you. This is the craziest thing, the best college defense in recent memory, but their average per game is about 50 points. You know, the average college team, Mark, right in the middle, averages 75 points per game. So if that's what you do, you'll be in the middle of every Division I team. Virginia holds you to 50, so that means to your average team right off the top, they're just taking a third of your points away.
Well, and that's what they're saying, 70 to 50, right?
120. Right, exactly. So I'm just saying, you know, Virginia, I do think in the long run, still going to have their issues where, you know, they're going to get in a tight game, someone's going to get hot, and that's it. I don't think they're going to the final.
I'll tell you right now.
Man, the first round or two, they tend to be okay.
You know,
Baltimore County will not score 50.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at their scores to handicap this game because I was curious about how it's going to play out. They won their conference title. They beat Vermont 65-62 in the finals of their tournament.
Yep, the three at the buzzer.
And with the three at the buzzer, right, Josh? You know, Hartford, they scored 62. Who's this team right here? Who's SB?
They got one guard who does – he scores like 40% of their points.
My point with Stony Brook, they scored 57 against them. So, this is going to be their lowest scoring game of the whole year.
It's going to be like 71-43, Virginia.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's why I see it.
They're used to being able to score a little bit because they did put some games up where they scored a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. However,
that's against defenses in the American East.
Right.
American East.
It's a whole different thing. And you look at Virginia, they just get more impressive every year. You realize they couldn't be 15-1 in the ACC, and the one was 1 point to Virginia Tech. Yeah. So that team's been unbeatable against one of the best conferences in the country. Like I said, the only issue is moving forward, they can't they play a style that's conducive. Because people talk this year, the difference is Virginia can score this year. But they've had good scoring teams in the past. Malcolm Brogdon, they've had teams that could score. The issue is their style, because it catches up to you by the Sweet 16 when you're facing another Michigan State. You're facing a hot team with a similar style, and they just make a few.
Yeah, they've got matched up with Michigan State like three out of four, five years.
People act like this Virginia team's a revelation. They're the same as they've always been. They're just a little bit better offensively.
I want to put this game into perspective. I know, listeners, we're spending a lot of time on this Virginia and Baltimore, Maryland, this Baltimore game. But there's a reason, and this is the reason that we're making right now. We're trying to figure out how many points we think Baltimore is going to score. Virginia, this is what – Clemson, they gave up 58, Mark, to Clemson.
Yeah.
Louisville, 58. Notre Dame, 57. Pitt, 37. Georgia Tech, 54. Miami, 50. Florida State, 55. Syracuse, 44. This team is going to lock
Clemson,
this team
36.
Down.
And the ACC is one of the higher scoring conferences.
Yeah, that's where North Carolina, Duke, 90, 85 points a game.
Florida State, they all score up.
These defensive efforts that Virginia's put up has been against teams with multiple offensive weapons that they were able to shut down. Yeah. I can't imagine.
They won at Cameron, 62-60 or whatever.
Yeah, and I can't imagine this Baltimore team is going to have more than,
like I said,
one guy.
One score?
Yeah.
I'm saying like no more than 45.
All right, First prediction of the day. We still got 7 minutes. So first prediction of the day, Mark. I want to get your thoughts. I'm gonna throw the number out. Virginia -20.5, total 120.5.
I mean, it looks to me like Virginia and under.
Is
and
it a Paul Sonner special?
It is, because it's a tough. I just think that's it's going to be tough for them to get 50 points to get this over.
I agree.
They need to get 50 to get it over.
I agree.
I think they will.
The only thing that scares me is Virginia puts up 90 somehow.
Right, and that's why I'm not interested in the total at all, but I think Virginia covers it just because they can.
I agree with you guys.
Do it on both ends.
I know some sharp guys that have weighed in on the dog here, but I'm with you guys. I see this team getting in the 40s,
Right.
And I think that Virginia's going to separate. There's going to be at least a chance for me to get off the game later if I need to.
Yeah, because I think they'll start out with like a 13-4 kind of start. And that team will be chasing and frustrated early.
That game tips off at 6:20, by the way.
You know what's funny about Virginia, particularly against competent teams like, say, Clemson in the ACC tournament? Like you mentioned, Ken, the points have more value. Like, they find a way to hang around, even though with the long scoring droughts. That's kind of funny. So in the last couple minutes, you would think you're within 7 or 8, or same thing North Carolina in the ACC tournament championship. But you're within 7 or 8 with, like, a couple minutes left, and you think – as you would in most games, that a three and a stop, and you're suddenly right back in there. But what's funny is about being down 8 to Virginia is like being down 20 to someone else.
Because
even with that, you're like, let's hurry up and get a three. Even when you really need baskets,
how are you going to beat them in four possessions?
Right, you can't even get a shot off still. They still make you work the shot clock down to zero. Kind of funny to watch these teams squirm.
That game tips off at 6:20. Virginia laying 20.5 versus Baltimore. 120.5 is a total. TCU, Mark, laying 5, playing Syracuse. Syracuse coming off the play-in victory versus Arizona State. TCU -5, total 136.
It's tough. I mean, I lean Syracuse here just because of the style of play in the zone, and Syracuse just has that tournament style that's tough.
Yeah, it bodes well, that defense.
And if you're going to give me 5 points with Syracuse, I'm probably going to take it almost against anybody.
I agree. And not to mention, the thing I like working in your favor here, Jamie Dixon, for whatever reason, but he has a history of not being good in the postseason. His team's pretty good, but they're kind of finesse. And you're right, Mark, just that Syracuse, their own offense is a big concern because they need to – keep up. I mean, that always worries you. I mean, they're really terrible. Field goal shooting and three-point. I mean, they got to just do it on the defensive end. But that's why.
Syracuse, like
many years, they don't belong there. I thought it was a joke. They shouldn't have gotten in. But that's beside the point because now they'll probably end up in the Sweet 16 because, I just think that same thing. The way they squeeze you out with that zone, run into and contest every shooter, rebound, when you're getting that many points, it lends itself to a tight game.
And, you know, TCU, they can shoot the three. You know, they've got quite a few guys that can. You know, so if they do get hot from the outside and find matchups, yeah, find matchups to get some open looks for the threes and they hit some, I mean, they could end up pulling away. But you just don't see it happening. Like, it's a hard thing to do.
Exactly.
So I definitely lean Syracuse.
All right. That game tips off at – I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this game, so I think it's a pretty fair line. That game tips off at 6:40. At 6:50, Missouri plays Florida State. Florida State is Florida State's a favorite. Yeah, look, we're looking at Florida State laying a 1.5, a little bit less than a bucket, and total being 147. It's a classic eight versus nine seed. Missouri 20-12 on the year, 6 in the SEC. And on the flip side of the coin, Florida State 20-11, 8th in the ACC. Interesting game. You know, Florida State, you guys were talking about this game a little bit before, you know, we came on the air, and Florida State, they have a ton of talent.
Yeah. Ken, you know, the first couple times I watched them this year, I'm like, wow, this team is scary good. I knew they had Phil Kofor coming back. I mean, I knew they had some pretty experienced guys. I watched some of their, you know, some of the whatever, you know, November, December tournaments. And then, you know, the first game when they almost won at Duke, like their ACC opener, I'm like, man, this team is scary good. Like, if you're not ready, they would just run you off the court. And what's odd is that was like their peak because they only went back. Now, granted, you're going to face different styles and we know better opponents in conference play. But, Mark, it just seemed like any team that could get back on defense, D them up, like limit them, you know, whoever it is, Notre Dame, Clemson, any team that could kind of put them into a half-court game completely negated their strengths. They never got better. And I was borderline surprised they made it in. I mean, the Florida State still lacks quality wins. The one, I guess they were helped out. They did win a couple big games early. I know they won at Florida. That's a big one. But they did just enough. But they didn't look like a tournament caliber team, you know, heading down the stretch. And I think, yeah, they lost a bunch of games. I don't like them here just because it seems like they rarely play up to that immense potential that they showed.
They lack, like, toughness and
exactly,
grit.
That mental,
you know what I mean?
Right.
They just kind of go through the motions a lot of the time.
Exactly.
And it's, a lot of that has to do with how talented a lot of those guys are.
And you're right, though. Even watching them, it looks like they half
like
don't want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. They've even sat, you know, who's that? Who's their – was a man? I think that's his name. They've sat him a couple times, like, to start – like, he sat the first half a couple times because of just, like, being complacent and all that. And
right.
They were trying to, you know, teach them a lesson, and it just didn't work out.
What about the total in this game, guys? I mean, you look at this game, you know, we talk about that Florida State being athletic, 147. Got about 30
yeah,
seconds.
Depends on the, you know, which team sets the tempo. I would actually lean toward the under because I think Missouri will drag it into a half-court affair.
Mark,
I agree with that. At first I thought over, but Missouri kind of lends you to take it under, you know, their style.
Absolutely, you know, real quick, it's still plenty of time to get in action. Four games still left to tip, four games in action right now. We have all of tomorrow's games. Make sure you download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Make sure you like us on Facebook at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. This is one of the times we've got to take a little bit earlier of a commercial break. We have to go off to traffic. So we'll be back on ESPN 94.5 after these messages.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're back. Sorry, guys, I'm counting hundreds. I went and cashed my Wolfpack tickets and all kinds of stuff. Seriously, I'm
nice.
Not lying. I got a grip of hundreds out on this table, don't I, Josh?
You do?
Huh?
You do. And yeah. I know, Ken, since the day I met you, I know you're never shy about, you know,
yeah,
just blowing smoke about betting the games. You back
oh, no.
it up.
One, two, three, four, five.
I think we're all a little bummed. We were texting last week
I'll
about the San Diego State game.
I'll
like, yeah, this is good. This should be a great bet. And then suddenly it just dies. When yeah. we knew we were done, it's like, yeah, no more texting about the bets when they're going down.
Yep. So I'm sitting here counting hundreds. So
double win, make some money on the pack and have pack play right.
Even the board man's going, holy cow, he is. I got a grip on hundreds. I got more in another pocket. Don't kid yourself. So, last game tonight, Clemson, New Mexico State. Clemson, 3.5, totals 133.5. You know, I still to this day, for the I don't know what reason, I always get New Mexico and New Mexico State.
It's pretty easy to do, Ken. Well, it's one of those things, speaking of which there's lots of parallels, you know, New Mexico's coach, the guy who was their coach last year, went to New Mexico State, so there's even some similarities there. And he's got it turned around for some reason, and I admittedly don't know a lot about the Aggies. I know they're pretty good, and so be it. But I know this line seems to be steamed up with people pretty, you know, hot on the trail of the underdog here. And that's one thing, though, you got to realize Clemson was playing pretty well toward the end of the year. They got some pretty big wins. They lost one of their best players to an injury. But when you watch them, it's like, yeah, when Clemson plays well, you know, this is a team that's routed North Carolina at home. They've got some pretty huge wins there. And so to me, it stuns me when you're still playing a very much, you know, a mid-major winner on a neutral floor, and it's only 3.5-4. I mean, you know, understandably, this is kind of the square point of view, if you will. But I just think I can only play Clemson.
It's kind of like the way I looked at the Kentucky game yesterday.
Yeah, and like, it fell right on the number, like depending on where you had it.
Yeah, I had 4.5. But, you know, they were covering the whole time. It took a 3 at the buzzer to get it to
5.
Yeah. And I remember the place erupted here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because it opened 6. I mean, you could have middled big time.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But that's kind of the same logic I used in that. It's just like, really, you're going to give me Kentucky minus 4, 4.5 against – a mid-major
team.
Let's
face it, though. Davidson's, you know, at least better known and better, you know, accomplished than New Mexico State.
No doubt about it. And Kentucky's also better than Clemson.
Right. But you're right, though. You get the same principle as what you applied. Yeah.
I feel like that's a similar situation. So, and I like Clemson a little bit here. I'm leaning that way. I know kind of a lot of people are on New Mexico State, you know, but.
You saw what I did. Now, you usually don't play money line favor, but this was cheap enough where, like, okay. Without laying points, you're just going to give me them to win at minus 170? Yeah, I just jumped on that one.
Ben White just texted me. It's real easy, Ken. One of them has state on the end. That's all. That's it.
Oh.
So I just have to remember that New Mexico State is not in our conference. So.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. And it's the Lobos who are, so.
And Ben White actually said he likes the dog in this spot. You know, Ben's a pretty sharp guy. You know, he puts his money where his mouth is too. Bets a lot of money on these games. So he comes in and he actually likes New Mexico.
He's a round robin guy,
huh?
He's a round robin guy.
Yeah.
He just runs in place all
a lot
the time.
Of them,
I just ask him. Yeah, I just ask him who he likes. Back. I just ask him who he likes in this Virginia game too. So I'm waiting to see his response on that because I might have to go put a comma bet on Virginia. You better count my bankroll.
I think you should. I think you need. I think you're craving some late night action, and you've done well today. I think Virginia is worth 1,100 play.
1,100?
I think so.
All right. Do I bite down to 20, or just don't sweat it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do it, just go ahead and lay the 20.5.
Fuck it. Oh.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah,
Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman. My first win of the year. I hope they're paying attention. That a boy. Thank you. But we have better board men than the NCAA tournament because I just cussed for the first time on ESPN. I dropped I did exactly what Must did. Wow. Thanks for catching me, guys. I appreciate that. You saved me a big FCC fine. So, anyways, with that being said, 4 games. I appreciate it. Wow, that's crazy. I'm blushing right now because I did drop it. So, Virginia tips off 620, laying 20.5 versus Maryland. 120 is the total. TCU, 640, laying 5, totals 136 versus Syracuse. Missouri, Florida State, minus 1.5, totals 147. And then Clemson, laying 3.5 with a total of 133. And Ben White officially said Virginia by 32. Bam, lock it up. I'm getting a comma bet.
I agree.
I'm getting a comma bet on Virginia.
Nice.
Let's go. Let's fight through tomorrow's games real quick.
Want to talk about Purdue and Fullerton?
No.
Well, that already happened.
Yeah.
You want to?
Except Purdue lost their 7-footer, so that's what you need to know.
I know. I was stuck in a ditch today.
Yeah.
Some of these games I didn't get to see.
Your life's stuck in a ditch.
Let's go on
Villanova. Villanova playing Alabama tomorrow. Small number on this, guys. You know, Villanova laying 4 versus Bama, 148. Give me Villanova.
That can't be possible. It's 11. Where are you
oh,
getting
wait.
4?
You're going to – a first half line or something?
Yeah, well, you must be looking at.
I must have been looking. Well, okay, never mind.
I just wrote it in because the sheet's incomplete. That's the current number on William Hill.
Okay, then you're right.
Okay.
What do you have for Duke on that?
9.5.
So I got Duke. Somehow I wrote down 4 instead of 11. Anyways, Villanova laying 11 versus Alabama. Totals about 148. I think Villanova's on a mission. Villanova, I think, is probably playing the best basketball in all of the country. I have no trouble at all with Villanova.
Yeah, to me it's tough. It's a lot of points, so. It's hard. You think it's Alabama one and done in terms of their performance last night was basically flawless against Virginia. They always play good defense. They couldn't miss a shot in the second half to beat Virginia Tech. But if they come with that defense, you've seen teams, you know, that force Villanova to a half-court game. You've seen them stick around. So, Mark, to me, it's too many. I don't know. To me, it's too many points to lay. Not that I want the dog, but that's a lot to swallow.
Yeah, I would say Villanova. I think Alabama will keep it close for a while. But Villanova just, they have that second gear where they can just, you know, extend leads and lock you down defensively. And I think they'll have a couple of those stretches, and I think they'll probably cover this number, but not by much, and it's a little too much for me to get on board with them. Although I think Villanova is going to win the tournament, and, you know, I just think Alabama's a tough matchup, and once they figure it out, I think Villanova will extend, you know, and cover.
All right. Duke, 11:40 tomorrow, laying 9.5. Correct me if I wrote these down wrong, John, if I did, Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
Duke, minus 9.5 versus Rhode Island, totals 150. You know, I played the Oklahoma Rhode Island game over, ended up getting lucky, you know, for that get there because of the overtime. But, you know, I look at this game, you know, I think Duke is just way too much for this team.
Well, that could be, but you know what? I put it this way. I think Rhode Island beat Oklahoma yesterday without even playing their best game. Their best players didn't perform very well until the very end. I think Rhode Island at its best takes us to the wire. I actually think I only want the – and I don't like to bet against Duke either, but that is a ton of – Rhode Island's really good when they're at the top of their game. I think they'll hang in there. I just – again, I could only have the underdog.
I like the over. I think the spread is, like, right on the money.
Yeah.
So – but I do like the total over. Duke looked really good last night. I mean, they obviously, you know, they're playing a cream puff, but I mean, they looked really good, and with their full strength now, they're healthy, you know, and they just they look like one of those teams that, and they're just scoring at will. I think this goes over easy.
Looks like the Pac game's at 9 a.m. Sunday, not 7 p.m. I don't know why got bad information there. With that being said,
you know, worst time.
Kentucky plays Buffalo. Interesting game here, guys. Everybody's kind of been all on Kentucky, you know, but now you have Buffalo coming off not just a beating of Arizona, but a beating of Arizona. You know, and now, you know, Kentucky lane 6, total 156.5. Pace is going to be there. You know, I'm going to shy away from the total a little bit. I'm going to shy away from this game until you guys need to convince me on what to bet. How's that?
Well, put it this way, Ken. It's kind of funny because I think, you know, people see what happened the other night to Arizona, and you always see that where these Cinderellas tend to be one and done. They come down to earth, you know, back to reality the next day. You realize Buffalo is not in that category, only that if you'd followed it all year, they were by far the best team in the MAC, and it wasn't even close. They covered every game, and then the MAC tournament, they covered every game was a double-figure blowout win. So this is just an unheralded team. They're underseeded as a 13 because Buffalo is legit, like, top 25 caliber team. Having said that, so it's not like they're just the, you know, Mercer or someone you're not familiar with. Kentucky's been inconsistent all year. They just came alive. You know, last five games of the year, they won the SEC tournament. Team's been maddening to handicap. You know, they tried to give it away the other night against Davidson. And what I'm getting at is I only have Buffalo. I can't lay, you know, six, 7 points
yeah,
here
why
with
not,
Kentucky.
Josh?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, why
not? It's only Buffalo.
Why
yeah.
not?
They're the more experienced team.
It's a tough line, man. I mean, Buffalo is scrappy. They hit threes. They've got a good coach. You know, they're a really tough matchup. This is another one I kind of like the over. I don't have the total on here. What's the number right now?
I saw it earlier. 56.5.
Yeah, I kind of like it over.
But, Tennessee lane 5, Mark Lewis, Chicago, 130.5, 5.5, Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's coming off of that the win against Wright State. Loyola, Chicago, upset Miami a little bit. A lot of sharp guys were in Loyola. Interesting game, though. Which one of these dogs is going to advance? One
King
of them
is on Loyola. I think this is a tough matchup for Tennessee, too. This is going to be a war. This is going to probably go down to the wire.
I agree.
Loyola,
take
Chicago's
the under.
Tough.
But, yeah, it's grinding.
Yeah, I like the under,
because you know what? Like I said, I saw them in the conference tournament. I still like Miami. And I admit I lost a bet, but everyone seemed to be on them. There was so much hype, and Miami has a good coach. And, you know, basically closed it at, like, a pick or whatever. So I took Miami on the money line at, like, minus 115. And, of course, you know, whatever. It was a three-point make or miss, right? It flies off, and Miami wins. But I will say I was impressed in the sense that Loyola was way better than – you know, they translated to the major conference opponent better than I anticipated. They were solid from the start. It was anyone's game. And you're right, they'll drag Tennessee probably into that kind of grudge match. And I don't want anything. I'd probably just take it under.
I see a very similar game with Tennessee as the Miami game. Just, you know, because even Tennessee, you know, their field goal percentage defense is one of the best in the nation. And, you know, it's going to be another grinder game.
Yeah, Rick Barnes and his style there. You know, Ben White just texted me a point. It's a good point to bring up. Buffalo, it has a bunch of juniors and seniors, and Kentucky has a bunch of freshmen. So he actually doesn't just like Buffalo plus the 6. He's going to take a little shot at Buffalo on the money line.
Yeah. So that's a tough, you know, a rare occasion where you see one of the double-digit seeds reach the Sweet 16. Buffalo is totally capable.
All right, Kansas laying 4.5 versus Seton Hall. Totals 153.5. You know, every year, you know, Kansas either wins it or they really do something screwy,
right?
Trying to get there, you know. And is this the game Kansas gets by? You know,
I think so. You know, the thing, Ken, Seton Hall is, again, loaded with seniors. They got guys, you know, Desi Rodriguez. I mean, all their guys have been, Angel Delgado, they've been around, like, four-year starters. That's a real, like, an old-school college basketball team. The guys you've actually seen grow up in the program, they're all seniors. They're loaded. I was surprised, though, how easily they handled NC State yesterday, a 10-point, you know, victory. I actually thought NC State would have a good chance in that game. The reason why is because Seton Hall struggles to close out close games. They have all year. If the game's decided by like 1 to 5 points, Mark, you can usually count on them losing. They got some separation yesterday. They looked confident and whatnot. And so this is a pretty light line. But one thing about Kansas is it's interesting. Ever since Azubuike went down, you think it would kill him, right? 7-foot-1 monster, blocks every shot, dunks around the rim. But you're basically playing 4-on-5 offensively. What I thought was interesting, like not that you wish, you know, an injury on someone, but he's partially back now. But with him out in the Big 12 tournament, suddenly Kansas is putting up, you know, 90 points a game because the backup bigs are more versatile and they're whipping it around the perimeter and setting a lot of screens. And suddenly, you know, the offense had more flow to it. So Kansas suddenly, you know, looking more dangerous than they did before. I don't know. Call me a sucker. This light a line, sucker. I would play the Jayhawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game. Seton Hall is, you know, like you said, they're an older team. You know, they're seasoned. And they've got scores all over the place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is another one.
Carrington. I mean, they've got some clutch, yeah, proven guys.
They hit threes, you know. They could play different styles. You know, they have struggled.
What do you
think,
though, Mark? But, you know, Seton Hall loves to run it up, right? I mean, they really like the frenetic. They'll go 85-90. But I think if you do that, like, you know, Kansas proved against Oklahoma State and West Virginia, if you want to run, Kansas will usually get the better of you.
There's no doubt, and that's why I like this total. It's light. 153.5 is light to me.
Okay, that's it off for our last commercial break. Come back. We'll continue with the handicapping of tomorrow's games and give you last-minute pack opinions. So this is the Windmill Sports Show coming live from Club Count Evo on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Count Evo.
All right, welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. Once again, kudos to our sound guy back in the studio. He has put me in the sin bin for my foul language. You know, I guess Coach Musk can get away with it on national TV, but that's not our kind of radio show here, Josh. So
that's right, Ken, but you're the latest one. Like, we haven't had that issue in a while, and now you're the one who gets the
– You just love it.
The ridicule.
You love it. You love it, the fact that I actually cursed, but it was caught by our board guy. Once again, appreciate it. Gonzaga, Ohio State, Gonzaga laying 3.5, totals 143.5. You know, I kind of looked at Gonzaga a little bit like Wichita State yesterday. I wasn't impressed with Wichita State. They ended up getting beat. I really wasn't impressed with Gonzaga last night either.
I agree, Ken, and they probably should have gotten beat. I mean, they just got pretty fortunate.
But the problem is, Josh, they're playing Ohio State.
Right, and well, they, you know, you just coming had a up. Kid hit a shot, and so they get by UNC Greensboro. But here's the thing. It's amazing they did as well. You know, Mark Few always reloads. But you had such a senior, you know, heavy team last year, right? You had all the different Nigel Ross, all those guys went to the championship game, like four seniors on the team. They're completely restocked. There's only one guy who even, like, played a lick last year, is back in the lineup. So Gonzaga's rebuilding, and yet they still win the regular season championship and the tournament title. And that's just a testament to Mark Few and everything you know, he's accomplished in the consistency he has there. Having said that, by Gonzaga standard, this is a weak team. And what I'm trying to get at, Ken, is I'm all over Ohio State in this game. And I think Ohio State's more talented. They were the best team in the Big Ten for most of the year, and I think I'm going to probably play the straight-up money line.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they have the wrong favorite too, Josh.
Yeah.
I don't know. This short number, I kind of lean Gonzaga. I mean, they're a pretty solid team. You know, they played a tough opponent last night, and it was a struggle, and they got lucky to win it, you know, for the most part. But I'll take Gonzaga with a short number. In fact, if I do, but I might just lean money line, throw it with a couple other money lines, stay out of that number entirely. But I do lean Gonzaga.
All right. Texas Tech playing Florida. Texas Tech, 1.5-point favorite, 133, Josh. Is that what you have?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And for what it's worth, Ken, we're talking about I like Ohio State a little bit. The game so far on tomorrow's slate that I like the best is this one, and the pick's Florida, and that's an easy call. I mean, they shouldn't even be an underdog. You realize Florida's made the Elite Eight like every time they get in the NCAA tournament, including last year. Those guys are just a year older. Even though they've been up and down this year, but they seem to peak at the right time. That backcourt that you always need, the sort of championship-level medal, they've got it there. Chris Chioza and Kevon Allen, guys who, again, have been to the Elite Eight a couple times. Texas Tech just barely, you know, squeezed by Stephen F. I mean, they could have lost to Stephen F. Austin if they hadn't. You know, it's just a late cold spell by the underdog there. I just think Texas Tech's done. They're getting sent home.
150 is the total in this Michigan State Bucknell game, and everybody's going crazy, but they still need 8 points in 33 seconds, but they did hit back-to-back threes. Maybe something affected the second half number or something like this.
And I think they were mostly on the dog, so they got out of trouble with Bucknell.
It's 14 and a half, but you're only down nine now. So with that being
right.
said.
But I mean, a couple minutes ago, that was like 14, so they're just thrilled to be out of trouble.
It's just crazy that all of every game is like – every shot late in the game, Josh, the crowd goes crazy, especially the Nevada game, the way it went down. So with that being said, you know, I'm with you guys. You know, I would only have Florida in this spot too. But the good thing about this game is I get to see Kansas play again, which I'm still trying to evaluate the Big 12. I was very impressed with Kansas State today. They locked down a really, really good Creighton offensive team.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of sharp guys were on that game. It was 144, and it didn't even come close to 144.
Yeah.
K-State absolutely just was fantastic.
Yep. And Creighton's just one of those teams that, you know, they're the most finesse team. You talk about teams that lack mental toughness, this and that. Ken, I researched this game for Sportsline. Creighton, the last 2 years heading into today, 1-11 against the spread on neutral sites. Shows they can only play in the comfort of their own gym, and they're horrible. I don't think they won like one Big East road
Why
game this year.
Why did you not text me that information?
Because I didn't know if, you know, you care what I think most of the time, but.
A 1-11 against the spread on neutrals.
Neutrals
are away.
So I fired on Kansas State, even though Kansas State's best player, Dean Wade,
Listen,
was
Josh,
out.
Let me explain something to you, buddy. It's my decision whether I want to go to the window. I appreciate the information always.
No, I texted you. Hey, I said Michigan's going to blow out Purdue, and you didn't even respond. And so I go, okay, he doesn't care what I think.
Oh, was that when I was in Vegas, comatose at the Mountain West Conference tournament?
I told you that. I said, hey, by the way, Michigan's going to nail him. And I was like, all right, he didn't even say thanks.
Mark, were we comatose? Josh, I was probably comatose.
Vegas. I believe you, but I just said, okay, I won't give him any games.
Listen, I passed out, Josh, so I had like 900 texts.
I fully believe you, but I just thought, okay, I'm not just going to be that guy that always tells you what game I'm playing. So.
Dude, no, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Post it on our Facebook.
Okay.
Anyways, Mark, Michigan, 3.
Well,
you want to talk about Florida?
Yeah, I think Florida's the right side.
That's
I think because of their guard play. I think because of their athleticism.
They can lock down Keenan Allen, too.
And I think Texas Tech has struggled down the stretch, and I like Florida a lot. Wrong favorite.
They did, by the
way.
Wrong favorite, my side. Yeah, Texas Tech had lost like 5-7 to end the season. They were reeling anyway.
Yeah.
Matt, just your brother – JD just said, hey, the Pack plays at 9 a.m. on Saturday. So your brother, Mark, says –
Sunday.
Or, excuse me, it's 9 a.m. on Sunday. So your brother says, wow, that's 6 a.m. here. Yeah, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
No, it's not, Mark.
I have no comment on that. I have no way to respond to that.
Man alive, that guy. He stabs himself with his hand in his hand with a knife, and he loses brain cells.
For like the third time in his life.
Wow.
I said, maybe you should stop carrying knives.
That's a good point. Michigan, 3.5 versus Houston, 133.5. I have Michigan advancing in a lot of brackets. I really do. I think Michigan, great coach, great supporting cast. They just seem to always – figure out a way to be there. Mark, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, their style, Ken, is conducive to postseason. We talk about Syracuse, their defense just translates well to March. So does Michigan's style, though, just all that back-cutting precision. Most teams aren't used to defending it, and they become efficient. Like the Mo Wagner, the big guy, and some of their guards, Duncan Robinson, they're finally hitting shots. Early in the year, Michigan just couldn't make anything. And what do you think, Mark? All year, I've kind of said this. I thought Houston was like – the worst good team I've ever seen. Like, I'd watch them, like, how is this team, you know, competing for the conference championship? They look sort of uncoordinated, and, like, they weren't that great. They just found a way to pull out games. I think this line's too tight. I think it's the Wolverines.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a short line. Houston's been riding this great – the point guard, that kid, he's been playing out of his mind for, like, a month. And I think that's a lot of ways, you know, why Houston has been playing well. And, you know, they went to the conference championship game, and, you know, they played really good against San Diego State. But Michigan is just like on another level right now. They're playing excellent. Like the beeline system, you know, as the year progresses, they usually start, you know, playing better and better and better. And they're peaking right at the perfect time. So I like the short line. I'll take Michigan all day long.
Yeah. It's worth noting too, that adversity. A lot of people thought Montana was going to be a real, you know, live dog as a 26-win team that was pretty good. And they start the game on a 10-zip run. They get Michigan down 10-zip, and you're like, hey, no matter who you are, that's a little bit of trouble. And, of course, the whole crowd's backing up the underdog. Before you know it, though, they just kept their calm, up 4 at halftime. Then they pulled away and even covered the number, which was 10.
Q Can you believe it looks like this Michigan State game is going to end up going over? That's absolutely crazy that it got to 150.
And the three at the buzzer.
Oh!
Good.
And if you had a bad number, you just got there too, Josh.
Exactly. Everyone wins.
Well, unless you got the under, and, right, you're just, right, and you're just going, there's no way they can score 18 points in the last minute in a blowout. Well, yeah, guess what? I think they just did.
Right. With the just
Bucknell. And it comes four.
Right, and they were close enough. They were incentivized to foul. Like, if it's 12, they probably let it go. Yeah, they were just close enough to foul.
Yep,
absolutely crazy. You know, I'm a believer in Michigan. You know, I was a little concerned in the Big Ten and the layoff. And, you know, they play their conference tournament a week early, and then they have the week layoff. You know, I don't know how I feel about that. Do they do it because you think that – why do they do it, I guess, is my question.
Because that's when the Garden was open.
Is it like that every year?
They had something else going the next weekend, so – they don't always play at the Garden, but this year they did, and that was the weekend it was available.
That's crazy. So I don't know. I was a little bit worried that, you know, the layoff and, you know, getting out of stroke a
little
bit.
They usually play it in, like, Indianapolis, but they played in New York for some reason.
So crazy. Anyways, Michigan laying 3.5. Those are all the games, you know, for tomorrow. You know, we got about a minute and a half or so. So, Josh, lob up some something that you really like, something that you wrote about on Sportsline. What do you really like tonight in these last games or tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay, like I said, for the remainder of tonight, there's a few. I'm starting to like Clemson. The more it goes down, again, I could be proven wrong. Last Mark and I checked, it's 3.5. I mean, I think you've got to take that. But I also like Virginia. You know, we've seen a good run on underdogs here, so I just think, yeah, that whole regression of the dynamic, how the chalk underdog outcomes play out. I think we're due for a couple of late night chalks. So let's go with Virginia, you know, tonight and Clemson, and then tomorrow the ones we just talked about. To me, I like Florida and Michigan.
Late games, Mark.
Yeah, I like Virginia also, and I like Florida State tonight.
So even after everything we said, you're going to take them anyway?
Oh, I'd love to take Florida State and, like, be disappointed by their effort.
Yeah,
so
just watch them fall apart.
I'll do it again. Nice. Yeah. And then I'm the same with you, Josh. I like Florida and Michigan tomorrow. Those are the two that stand out to me. I'd probably go money line with those two, just the short lines.
I'm going to play a little bit of Virginia tonight, obviously. I just bet $600 on them. I don't care. I guess I'll tell the listener. I bet $600 on Virginia laying 20.5 tonight. You know, and depending on how the complexion of this game, I'm going to be looking to play, you know, one of these two late games too. I have a couple of ideas, but I haven't really made up my mind yet. I agree with you guys in the Syracuse game. TCU, I think if they win this game, they probably win it a little bit late. So I'd be looking to maybe play Syracuse and keeping it close early until TCU figures it out. I kind of like that angle too. So, you know, make sure that you download the William Hill mobile sports app at www.williamhill.us. It's a full-service mobile betting app at your fingertips. It has everything that you can wager on at the brick and mortars. Make sure that you follow Josh. Go to Sportsline and look up Josh's articles, you know. Not just – especially – you know, there's going to be Thursday games next week and Friday games that go off before we get on the air. And Sunday games that we haven't even talked about yet. And, Josh, you'll probably have some stuff up there on that.
Exactly. And especially now after you get through this, you know, four-day, you know, extravaganza of all the first-round games, suddenly you got much time to look ahead where, you know, 4 days of preparation for these lines. So we'll have a lot of in-depth info.
All right. Make sure you come down to the Club County Eagle and watch the games, too. We have two 20-foot screens. We have in a smoke-free enclosed room. Betting windows, man, it's crazy here. $2 Bud and Bud Lights, lots of things going on here. Dollar fireball shots with Sam Adams, so make sure you come and do that. We'll see you next week. Good luck on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.